consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spots that activate your soulgasmic business. Enjoy this light language activation as we begin to magnetize and monetize. Welcome, my loves. Thank you so much for being here today in this global energetic sacred container and as a catalyst for inspiring others to show up and courageously lead with love. I have been deeply inspired and being led by spirit to also stretch outside of my own comfort zone right here, right now in this episode. My friends, I have a deep confession. Up until this past week, I have been avoiding any topics of race, politics, and history, both in my personal and professional life. To me, these topics often feel overwhelming, dense, and honestly, I wasn't sure how to participate. I didn't know what to say as I was afraid of offending others. Can you resonate? For years, I haven't watched the news, which keeps me in my own bubble. And I've always had this nagging, wondering thought in the back of my head that I do need to know about current events. Now, the issue is, as an empath who deeply feels, I mean, you guys, I cry when I watch Disney movies, and I cry when I drive past real-life accidents I see on the road. And I didn't know how to be in the know without emotionally and energetically taken out by the news and media, which, as you know, is often sensationalized and biased. However, I couldn't ignore the posts of my friends on social media about George Floyd and the outrage of the black-white race issue. And interestingly enough, months ago, I had already planned out that this episode, which is only my second episode here on this podcast, it was going to be about values. Specifically, one of the most important values to me is personal accountability. And this, that is such a huge value to me because it was life-changing for me personally and professionally when I really, really looked deeply at parts of my life back when I was really first learning about this a few years ago. And this really led me to self-reflect on how is it from the lens of personal accountability as not only a leader in my business for other leaders, but also as a parent, as a wife, do I consciously want to participate in this conversation that comes up from a place of love, light, compassion, to honor the seriousness of it without feeling the depths and density of it so that I can still function at my highest? As I am speaking, I know that this will resonate with some of you listeners as it's something I put out there on my social media and people have reached out and shared that they are in the same boat. Through my own awareness and self-reflections, I realize that I am playing small if I continue my pattern of avoiding in these areas. I have found my edge in where I need to stretch next, not only as a human being, but again, also as a leader, my home to my kids and in my business, and now as I have this podcast platform to the global community of this sacred container. I'm hopefully modeling with you on this episode how to courageously use the power of your voice so that others who may feel the same way we do as a transformational entrepreneur and leader can learn how to courageously hold space and facilitate a conscious conversation about how to navigate through the current events regarding, in this case, race, with deep grace, without the deep density, while still honoring the seriousness of it. And you guys, I have another confession. I have been really freaking nervous to interview people on my podcast, as interviewing is absolutely an art. And I'm embarking in this new world, new to me world in podcasting. So it's not even entertaining having guests on the show until literally this past week, when my beautiful Black soul sister and soulmate client, Laurel Sabor, who goes by Aluchi, reached out to me and asked, how can she acknowledge what's going on regarding the current events of race without going into the density at her meditation, drumming, and dancing event she held over this past weekend? And interestingly enough, an answer flowed out of me, and that also inspired me to realize I could apply my own answer to my life and business too. So here I am, divinely guided. And so on today's show, the intention is that for Aluchi and I to hold space for those of you who also resonate with wanting to learn how to support the collective, bringing current events to acknowledge and finding that balance between dipping too much into the density energetically and being in and between being in the quote unquote ignorant bubble of bliss. I know that you as listener can relate because you deeply care and want to show up and you may not know how. So I'm still in the process of learning as well, and I hope that you can take note and learn and join in with us and learn. So I am divinely guided to invite Aluchi on this episode. Aluchi is a spiritual and intuitive guide who is passionate about empowering individuals to reconnect with their true essence. As founder of Aluchi Naya Lifestyles and a certified meditation teacher, she believes in the rebirthing process of ourselves by aligning ourselves to our soul's essence. She has facilitated meditation workshops for corporate clients and individuals in Canada and Guyana, West Africa. Ghana. Without further ado, let's welcome Aluchi. Hello, love. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Hi. Thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here.
I am so excited. Yes.
Well, first off, I want to express my appreciation for having this sacred space for me to share my truth. So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I really believe it was divine guidance, and you really were part of the inspiration of this alchemy. So, and I want to put out to you listeners, I feel this podcast is going to be Aluchi and I jamming it out together. This is not scripted. We have some structure, but picture it as if we're on a phone conversation. And we're here just to be beautifully raw, vulnerable, real, and we're just going to let it flow. So, my love, can you share with us a bit about you and your upbringing?
Yeah, sure. So, I'm from Jamaica, born and raised in Jamaica, on the beautiful island of Jamaica. And I moved to Canada in 2010, so coming up to almost 10 years. And my upbringing was one of, you know, if you know Jamaicans or anyone from the Caribbean, our culture is very colorful and dynamic. And so I had a beautiful upbringing with this rich culture. You know, there was the joys of the ups and the downs. I grew up with my mother, a single mother, in a middle-class household, closer to the lower end of the spectrum of the middle class. And I would say that my upbringing was one of, there was struggle, financial struggle. There was also the joy of being, there's a beauty of growing up on an island. So there was this joy of being free. But then there was also a complexity of ancestral struggles within the population of Jamaica, which shows up in various ways. It shows up in crime, it shows up in the way we interact with each other. And so, for those who don't know, Jamaica is a very diverse population. 80% of the population is of Afro descent, and we also have maybe I think it's either 80 or 70%. Don't quote me on the exact percentage. We have Chinese descent, Indian descent, people from the Middle East. It's such a diverse, our national motto is out of many one people. However, my growing up as it relates to race, I cannot say that I experienced racism per se in Jamaica, but what really exists as a dominant experience is colorism, which is an offshoot of racism. But it's where someone who has, say for myself, I'm a black woman, but I have a lighter complexion than a friend, I may possibly be treated in a different way than my close friend who has a darker skin. So there's an element of colorism. In 2010, I moved to Canada, and it wasn't until I moved to Canada that I started to identify with the word black. Because in Jamaica, we don't have that, it's not a common conversation of black, white, we just recognize each other as Jamaicans with different colors, different shades. But when I came to Canada, that was when it became more apparent that, hey, I'm black. Because for the first time, I wasn't seen as a brown skin light skin girl. I was seen as black. So in terms of my experience of issues around race in Canada, for the most part, I can say that my experiences has not been I've not experienced I've not been severely affected by it. And I must acknowledge that my experiences may not be that of other friends who are black. I've experienced one racial related incident in 2013 here in Edmonton. And in addition to that, I haven't really been challenged with my race separate from that one incident. So again, I want to acknowledge that my journey is it's unique to me. Every single person has their own unique journey, and so I don't want to dismiss the struggle and experiences that other women and men within the Black community experience.
I can also really appreciate that. Thank you so much for sharing. As a full-on Asian woman, I am Chinese. My parents are from Hong Kong, and I'm first-generation Canadian in my lineage. And so it's been interesting as well. We were talking about this earlier on the phone yesterday, Aluchi, and just how, it's been interesting that I have not personally either had a lot of experiences with racism personally. And my sense of that is because my parents encouraged me to really embrace Canadian culture. I have experiences of them doing that as these amazing immigrants who were just really, I remember at a point in my life, they were, I think I was about, I'm gonna say 8 years old, 9 years old, they were deciding, do we put our children into French or into Chinese school? So we, and they had a conversation with me and my brother. My brother is a couple years younger than me, and we both went with French. And so it's interesting how that happened, and most of my friends were white. And so I identify more with the, we'll say, Canadian white culture. And and so in some ways, I feel like that really, you know, not having a lot of personal experiences of racism against me, and embracing more Canadian culture, that of course shapes my way of how I see things. And I feel like part of that, like that's there's like beauty and light, and then there's darkness of both, right? And that so because my experiences were not shaped heavily by being oppressed, in some ways I believe that that's like being taken out a bit from participating in such issues around race. And the other piece is what some of my beliefs as I was reflecting on myself were that I'm Asian and this is a black-white issue, so it doesn't involve me. That was, I recognize, a limiting belief. And yes, I now know from a personal accountability perspective, how we choose to show up, or, you know, and of course this was unconscious for me, how we choose to show up or not, and when we're not aware, it has some sort of ripple effect.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's so important that we recognize that ripple effect. And I think that's what's happening right now with this whole incident with George Floyd and the riots and the protests that's going on in the U.S. And let's not forget that we actually do have these experiences, the same experiences of George Floyd is happening in Canada. So it's not isolated in just the U.S., it is happening in Canada as well. And I think right now, with everyone being at home, you know, we're it's almost like the universe has forced us to slow down, to pay attention and to connect and feel. And so I feel that everyone is now feeling the collective effects. They're feeling the ripple effects. They're no longer hiding to say, hey, it's not my problem. You know, they're really feeling.
Yes. Yeah. In this deep, you know, with even COVID-19 just inviting us to go, if we chose to go deeper within ourselves. Yeah, we're in this deep process. And I do believe that that's been part of my own transformation in where we are right now in this moment. And you're right. Like, this is something that happens on a daily basis to people. And in Canada, it's with the Indigenous Aboriginal people. And it made me really reflect. And then as a mom, I want to say, it made me really reflect on how is it that I want to bring this event up and talk about it with my boys, who are currently 8 years old and 6 years old. As of this year, they turned those ages. And so how is it that I can have them be in the know as well? And so this really helped me not just reflect on myself, but also how do I want to show up as a parent? And then also having that discussion with my husband, and it's been very powerful to have this discussion, I should say more than one discussions with my husband around this. And in fact, we were getting ready in the bathroom on, I think it was over the weekend, on Saturday morning. I was like, you know what, this is such a powerful conversation you and I are having that we've never had before around race and how it impacts us and how we show up. I literally hit the record button on my phone because it was such a powerful conversation, just as who knows what we're going to do with this, but it was so powerful. And then we brought it into our home with our kids and had a conversation about it. So I could see, like, my six-year-old isn't quite understanding, but my eight-year-old's really, really aware and just really, like, asking tons of questions, which I love because I see
which
that.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, like, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that right now we're invited to really navigate our conversations with love.
Yes.
And
yes.
It sounds like you're doing that. And, you know, I like to look at life from different perspectives. And in terms of race, I like to see, let's use a human body as a perfect analogy. Within the human body, we have trillions of cells. And each cell has a unique function. And these cells create tissues. We have various organs within the body. And each organ has a unique function. And so similarly, within the consciousness of humanity, the body of humanity, we all have a unique function to play in the health and the health of human consciousness. And so what we're seeing right now in the world is that a vital organ of the body of humanity is in pain. We are seeing that the community, the Black community right now, are experiencing a lot of pain. They're vocalizing this pain. And similar to the human body, when one part of our bodies is in pain or is in suffering, the rest of the body feels it. And so, you know, you will never see an organ operating by itself. So the liver doesn't operate by itself and says, hey, you're a pancreas, I'm not going to talk to you, or you're a stomach, I'm not going to talk to you. The liver itself is connected to the stomach. The stomach is connected to the intestines. And collectively, we have a beautiful, well-functioning body when all the organs are healthy, when all the organs are nourished with love, when all the organs are operating to its most optimum level. And so when we look at the human body as this example, we have to recognize that this issue that we're seeing in the U.S. and Canada is not just a Black community issue, which you had alluded to at the beginning. It's everybody. Everybody's been affected. There is this ripple effect. And so I think that there is this invitation for us to look at this collective functioning of the body of humanity from a higher perspective and a perspective of love.
Yes. And not just and love, so, but I really, like, I think, Aluchi, this is a really great way to, because what you're bringing is how do we navigate? Because the question is really this, how do we navigate these current conversations with not just love, but also consciousness and grace and sensitivity? How do we do that as leaders? Right. And I love your analogy with the human body visual, that we are all parts of the sum, right? And together, the totality, we work together. And so I'd love to hear more about how is it that we navigate this from your perspective, to have that bird's eye view, to rise above the separation, because it's either oneness or separation, but rise above and really have that observer hat with so much love for the collective, and holding that space. How do we do that?
Well,
what's our part in it?
I think our part is recognizing that the body of humanity right now has been infiltrated by a virus, and that virus is not COVID. The virus that we need to really tackle is the virus of fear. And I strongly believe that once we dismantle our relationship with fear from within ourselves, we are able to relate with each other from a place of love. And this virus of fear is something that, you know, I don't know, it has existed within humanity for centuries. And we have been operating from this place and using fear to navigate how we relate to each other and how we see each other. So to answer your question, I think, you know, we need to acknowledge that we are allowing fear to control our lives. And mm-hmm. the antidote for fear is love. And in a practical standpoint, you know, I feel that we are being invited right now to look at ourselves and see, where is it that I'm holding fear within myself? And how can I deeply invite love inside myself? Because you cannot love someone or express love for another person, regardless of race, if we don't have that capacity to love. And so yes. it's an invitation for us to have a dose of love every single day for myself. I need to have love for myself in order for me to have love for my brother and for my sister. And so it's definitely a progress, but it starts today. It starts where we look and be self-reflective, look at where it is that we are operating from love in our lives. You know, whether it is, you know, most of us walk around fearful of ourselves, you know, which is mm-hmm. a problem in the first mm-hmm. place, you know. Mm-hmm. So when we harness in fear, we want to, what tends to happen is that when someone is harnessed in fear within themselves, they look to someone else to take their power for them to feel better about themselves. And that's essentially the underlying current of racism. It is a one human that is embodied with fear, who is fearful of another human. And from that place, there is this degradation, there is oppression, there is completely just lack of love when we are relating to each other. So I don't want to, you know, I want to kind of make it really succinct for people to understand that the first step is to really invite love into your life. Look at where it is that you are having a lot of fear and really apply that antidote of love to heal yourself. And from that place, you'll have a capacity to love someone else. Another thing that I often reflect on and share with others is that there are three human needs. So there are three needs that everybody has, right, Roz? Mm-hmm. There is to be seen, to be heard, and to feel worthy.
Yes.
And if none of these needs are met, oh my gosh, we are not able to stand in our true divine power or true divine essence of who we are. Mm-hmm. And if we're unable to see ourselves, listen deeply, listen to ourselves and know our worth, we are unable to see another human, we're unable to hear another human, and we're unable to see the worth of another human. And what's happening right now in the US, and, you know, this uproar of, you know, Black Lives Matter, is really a community that is, it, oh my gosh, I'm just getting chills just talking about it. It's a community that is saying, listen, we need mm-hmm. to be seen, we need mm-hmm. to be heard, and we have worth. And not until each individual, Black, Chinese, white, Indian, not until each individual can see themselves, hear themselves, know their worth, we are unable to do the same for another person. So I think that, you know, when we're, and I really apply this a lot to when we were younger, you know, yes. when as a child, if we're not seen, not heard, we tend to throw a tantrum, you know, we because that tantrum is the way we get our attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shout and we scream and we're like, mommy, daddy, I need you to hear me. I need you to see me. You know, we're filled with rage, and rightfully so. And so that's what's happening now. Everyone is frustrated. We're filled with rage and need to be heard, need to be seen. So there are many, you know, Rosti, question, there are so many ways to approach this issue of race. So many, like a gazillion of ways.
Yes.
And this is not the first. Hi, Roz.
I'm here.
Okay, I thought I lost you there.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, so I think it's a deeper conversation of self-reflection, really inviting yourself to look at where it is that you need to love yourself more in order to develop the capacity to love another person. And then
I would love to just thank you for sharing all of this, love. I really want to emphasize that's such a basic emotional need for us to be seen, to be heard, mm-hmm. and to feel worthy. And I know that those who may be listening are wondering, well, like, what kind of questions should I be asking myself? Like, how I don't feel any fear, like I'm not aware of any fear. And mm-hmm. so one of the ways, and we can kind of jam about this for the next 4 minutes sort of thing, is that we look at how you're reacting to the current situation regarding race. How is it mm-hmm. that you are seeing it, feeling it? Do you feel contracted? Do you feel uncomfortable? And none of this is judgment. It's awareness. Mm-hmm. It's again, having that bird's eye view. There's this quote that some of you may have heard. It's your reaction is a reflection of the awareness of yourself. I'll read that again. Your reaction is a reflection of the awareness of yourself. And so how is it that you are going into relationship with humanity and regarding the race issue right now? And is it working for you? And this is where, for me personally, I was like, holy crap, I don't want to be avoiding anymore. I feel like I'm staying in my comfort zone and I'm playing small. And if I'm looking at the accountability perspective, how am I showing up as a leader for my community? How am I showing up as a leader for my kids? How are my husband and I showing up for the humanity as well together? And so this really got me to dig deep about how I'm reacting to this current event. And so I hope that as you are listening to Aluji and I, that you're also, our hope is for you to reflect on yourself in terms of how you're going into relationship with humanity. And without judgment, you know, I really believe that there's always that next level. We're here on a journey of evolving. And this, for me right now in this moment, is me evolving. And I really love it. Yeah. Is there anything that you want to add to this, Aluji?
Well, you know, going back to this virus of fear, you know, a lot of people try to not deal with this issue of race because of the density. They don't know what to say. And I'm going to be frank with you. Me, I'm a black woman. I love my blackness. I love everything about me being black.
Yes.
And I love a good black man. You know, but I myself also shy away from some conversations about race. You know, I'm going to be honest. There are certain conversations that I shy away from because of that density. And to be honest, when I really reflect on it, it is the fear that is my driving force as to why I'm avoiding it. So, I mean, back to your question, you know, is if it is that you're fearful of approaching the conversation about race, recognize the fear, feel it, allow that energy to move through you, feel it, at least recognize it, don't judge it, right? But feel it and let it move through, because fear is really a frequency, it's an energy, it's a stream, just like you have love. Love is a frequency, it's an energy, it's a stream. But we have a choice as to which frequency we want to cling to and which frequency we want to radiate from, right? So it's like recognizing it. And once you recognize it, you slowly start to dismantle your relationship from that frequency of fear. And then the next thing that I think is important to talk about is this, I don't know what you want to say, this attitude or actions of oppression. I don't hope we have enough time, but this is a very important thing. Do we have enough time?
We have about a minute before we go into commercial. Yeah. And then we can come back and, you know, move into the completing whatever we need to complete before our meditation.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess I'll just start, since I've started to talk about oppression, and then we can go into the commercial. I think with this racism, we have to be mindful of where it is that we are oppressing ourselves and where it is that we're oppressing other people.
Yes.
And I think after commercials, I could unpack that a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. I think so. That's what we'll leave you with right now as we go into commercial, is to really have you reflect, where are you being oppressed and when are you being the oppressor? And it could come in the most subtle levels. So stay tuned and we'll see you when we come back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 Answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back, my love. So just before the commercial, I was having you reflect on your reaction as a reflection of the awareness of yourself and where you may be being oppressed or where you may be the oppressor. And it can come in many subtle levels. So
So I'm curious, and I'd love to hear your feedback. Just, you know, like, I'm going to be radically honest right now. You know, we think, oh, you know, I'm not a racist. And yet we do have these subtle stories that can run through us, such as, and I'm totally going to be radically honest, that there are times where if it's not a, my husband and I were having this conversation, if it's not a white person, sometimes, so if it's a black person, if it's a different person of color, sometimes I might be, you know, tensing my body up a little bit more as I walk past them in the sidewalk and not feel safe. And then I go, what the heck was that about? Right. And so sometimes we, and again, that's where I'm really noticing the subtleties of how being the oppressor shows up for me. How about for you, Luchi?
Oh my gosh. I just love what you just shared, because it's so true. You know, I've also found myself walking on the street and I get tensed up, and someone is just simply walking in the opposite direction and I get tensed up, and I'm like, okay, why did I do that? And again, it goes back to that fear and needing to eliminate eliminate that frequency of fear from ourselves. And you know, the oppression is something that I myself have experienced as a child. I think that oppression is something that we start experiencing as young as a child, between the relationship between adult and child. Somehow we have this belief that someone has to have power and someone is inferior. So from a very small age, we're taught inferiority and superiority. And we have this belief system so embedded in our minds that we play it out throughout our lives. And so I see it. I'm going to say, hands down, I have been an oppressor in ways where, you know, even growing up in Jamaica, this belief of having a lighter skin being so superior than someone with a darker skin, even me as a black person, that element of inferiority and superiority exists there.
I can relate with that in my own culture as well.
Also in the Asian culture, you'll see that.
Well, for me, I think for me it's because I identify more as a Canadian. That when I see people who are immigrants, there's that sense of like separation inside me. Like, we're not the same. I'm not like them. They're not like me.
Yeah.
And it's very, very subtle. It's so subtle. Yeah, and I see that. Subtle. And I see that as going back to that story I shared earlier, like, do I embrace Canadian or do I embrace my roots as a Chinese woman or girl at that point? And it felt like a divide. And so I feel like, you know, that story has stuck with me on a very, very subtle, subtle, subtle level. So
that's interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah.
It's really interesting. Because I see play out in, as I said, we have this inferiority, superiority complex even within your own race, right? Then you have it within your nationalism, within the national level of being Canadian. And then you have it from country to country, you know, so one country feels they're more superior than another country. So I think with the whole, in terms of an action step for people, is looking at where it is that you have this superiority and inferiority complex, even in your day to day. So even in your relationship with your child, and look at where it is that you have felt inferior. And I think what this does is it shifts you into a space of being an observer of oppression. You become an observer of the subtle natures of oppression, even in your day-to-day. And why it is important, why I keep bringing people back to their day-to-day in their home, is that the belief systems that you have within your home is what shows up outside of your home when you relate to someone who's from a different race, from a different country. So really bringing it back to that self-reflective state. And I think that that is really the baby steps of creating a sustainable change, is looking at yourself. And then how does that play out in your relationships with others? Do you think someone who is Black inferior to you, even if you've never said it, but really deep down think about it? Because I tell you, I had that feeling of even my brothers and sisters, Black brothers and sisters, being inferior to me because of that mm-hmm. belief system that I had was, oh, I'm a lighter shade of Black. And that was not something I came up with. It was something that culture taught me. So I had to dismantle myself from that belief and to be able to fully show up with love for my other Black brothers and Black sisters.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, love. And I hope that this is a good segue for you to guide us all as a collective into bringing this into the practice, the experience of really coming into the relationship with ourselves first and really feeling into all of this with love, so that mm-hmm. people can play this meditation over again to support them to reflect on themselves.
Sure.
Beautiful. Okay. And when during this meditation, I will towards the end also activate it with a light language transmission.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
I love your light languages. Okay. Mm. All right. So I'll invite you to get comfy wherever you are. And I invite you to gently close your eyes, bringing your attention inwards. Bringing your attention to your breath, noticing that subtle, beautiful oxygen that's coming in through your nostrils and out through your nostrils. Now I invite you to bring your right hand and place it over your heart. And as you're breathing, bring your attention to the sensations that you feel from your heart. Feel that pulsating vibration of your heartbeat against your hand. You may feel a subtle pulse. You may feel a very hard pulse, very fast, slow. Simply notice. Allow your awareness to be in your body. And taking a deep breath in. Now allow your heart to open. Now imagine a beautiful golden light being emitted from your heart into your room. On every exhale, bring your attention deep into your heart. And in this moment, repeat to yourself, I love myself. I trust myself. I see myself. I hear myself. I am worthy. Allow this beautiful golden light to emit into your world. Radiating this love, activating you to stand in your own power, to see another human, to hear another human, and to feel their worth. Taking a deep breath in. As you continue to connect with your heart and allow this love to radiate from your heart, just continue to sit in this moment and allow yourself to be activated through through this light language from Roslyn.
Breathe out love. Parakachua karate karate akurutia parati karatu akurtu paratikarati akua karate karatua parakaratua. So just letting yourself hang out with the sensations. There's absolutely no right or wrong. Allow yourself to feel what you feel. You may experience tears. They are totally welcomed here. You may experience tingling, release, full on, orgasms, whatever it is that you feel, honor it right now. You may feel that grief. Allow that to be here. There's no right or wrong. And then in your own way, find a place inside that feels the most grounding for you in this moment. Whether it's feeling your feet on the ground, placing your hand on your heart, or one on your belly, feeling core, feeling your core. And just finding a way to come to a completion that honors your process, that holds this beautiful process of love for yourself and love for humanity. And then when you're ready, just very slowly and gently bring yourself back into your room. Feel the temperature on your face. Very slowly and gently open your eyes. You may want to blink a few times. And I do always encourage you to journal what came mm-hmm. up for you, what came through, what flowed, what message you got. Mm-hmm. Allowing that your voice come through. And so as we start to bring our show to a close, I want to take a few minutes to really acknowledge you, Aluchi, for who you are. This beautiful, powerful Black woman who is here to really stand in your truth, shine your gifts out into the world as an intuitive. Your work is very powerful. And I've personally experienced your work. It is so powerful. I'm deeply, deeply honored to be your friend.
Thank you, Roslyn.
And I'm deeply honored that you're here. And there may be some listeners who are just loving up on your energy and wanting more of this yummy juju-ness you have. And I want to take this time for you to tell us about your 6-week upcoming program, Reclaim Your Power.
Yeah. So before I do so, Roslyn, I want to genuinely express my appreciation and say thank you for seeing me, thank you for hearing me, and thank you for recognizing my worth. Child, tuning in with your inner child's portal, activating the power and the wisdom of your physical body, and helping you to set energetical boundaries. And all of this, a combination of all of this, would help you to step into your divine power and show up.
Thank you, my love. And all of the information is going to be in the show notes. Come and connect with us on Facebook, social media. Everything is going to be in the show notes. So thank you for tuning in. We certainly hope that this has started a new transformation for you. Until next time, my loves, stay soulgasmic.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.